December the 21st, 2015, Monday evening. Uncle Edward on Dan's mother's side is about to visit. Dan and Wiki have been getting things ready, prepare dinner, and clean the house. This was a tradition. Each year they had dinner just before Christmas. Edward Gran always traveled home to Sweden over Christmas, but he always had dinner with Dan a few days before that. He was a member of some secret gentleman club there, and they always met up during the holiday. Edward never spoke about it and what they did, but somehow it made Dan excited. When he was a child, he imagined that Edward was an agent or something like that. Now he understood that it was probably just a men's club where they told stories, drank, and smoked fat cigars. He never understood why he always had to go there at Christmas. This year, Dan was extra excited to meet up with his uncle, since he had found that information and located it somewhere in Sweden. He still hadn't talked with Wiki about it and wasn't sure he should, but Edward could maybe help him with a few of his thoughts about it, or at least give some information about Sweden and the North. Or maybe he knew someone who could help. He would have asked him earlier, but they lived far from each other and didn't meet up often, and Dan didn't really want to talk about it on the phone, and Edward didn't even use computers. Vicky passed by the kitchen. He heard her sing as she set the table in the dining room. Dan tasted the sauce, his special sauce that Uncle Edward loved so much. Oh, he had to get the eggnog ready as well. That was one of Edward's favorites at their dinner. Dan, you get all excited when the doorbell rings.
Oh, I think he's here.
Awesome. Go, open it. I will just finish up here with the forks and knives and everything will be perfect.
Awesome. Great. Don't let me forget the eggnog, and I will go.
You open the door, and joy spread throughout your whole being when you see your uncle.
Uncle, it's glad you made it.
Nephew!
Come in. It's cold out there.
He shakes out his jacket a bit. There's some snow gathered up on his shoulders as he walked up the sidewalk. He has a handkerchief, a white handkerchief in his right hand, and you can see him blotting his forehead. Even in this cold, he's sweating a little bit over his upper lip and across his brow. He embraces you heartily. He's only about 5.5 feet tall, not even quite, but seems to be almost as round as he is tall. Big, thick hands grasp you around the back and squeeze you tight.
So good to see you. How was your trip?
Not as short as I wanted it to be, but the longest part of the journey is ahead. How are you? Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. I'm good. Come on, Vicky's in here just getting the last touches on dinner ready. Just about to get some eggnog for you. Vicky, look, Uncle Edward's here.
Mr. Grant, it's a pleasure to meet you again, and Merry Christmas. It's so good that you're coming.
Yes, Merry Christmas. Happy holidays to you. It's lovely to see you again too, Vicky. Thank you for inviting me and allowing me into the home. I'm grateful for all of the work, and the food smells fantastic.
Well, that's most of it is doing. I was just helping a little bit here and there.
Eggnog?
Oh, right.
I heard you say eggnog?
Yeah, here. I've got some in the fridge. Here you go.
The glasses?
Yeah.
As you walking in and serving the eggnog, your phone rings, Dan.
Excuse me, just a moment. Hello?
It's Paul, your nemesis. What the fuck, Dan? You have anything to do with Anatoly?
Paul, I'm having Christmas dinner. What are you talking about?
You better back off. Don't get your nose into things you can't handle. He hangs up on you.
Okay. Huh. I put my phone away. All right. That was nothing. What do you need help with?
Are you sure you're all right, Dan?
Yeah, it's nothing. It's just some asshole from work.
Oh, I can't believe it. Your work disturbs you even during the holiday. Can't believe it.
Yeah, don't worry about it. It's all good. Just a little misunderstanding. He's gone now.
All right, so let's take a seat, everyone, and let's start with some snacks and eggnog.
There you go, Uncle Edward. You sit at the head of the table.
Thank you. I've been anxiously awaiting the traditional eggnogs. I hope you have enough to get me through the night.
I got extra. I know we were running short the last time, so I doubled up this time.
Yeah, very sweet of you. Very sweet of you. Hey. Good to think of your old Uncle Edward. Thank you.
You're my favorite uncle. So you've got a journey in front of you.
Yes, yes. The holiday trip to Sweden. Yes, we're headed north this year. It's tradition that we see the midnight sun. So.
Oh, well, that's interesting.
Yes, it's definitely a bit different.
Do you have?
You know, they say it's a vampire's paradise.
Interesting. Do you, gentlemen, have a cabin up there, or are you roughing it?
Oh no! We're too old to be roughing it.
Oh good.
We rent some homes and journey out into the wilderness occasionally for a few hours at a time.
You see the Northern Lights at that time.
Yes, it's very special. Yeah. Have you seen the Northern Lights, Vicky?
I did when I lived in Norway, but that's probably the only thing I really miss about it.
They must be beautiful.
Like nothing you've ever seen.
Simply magical.
It truly encompasses the statement, pictures don't do it justice. The whole night sky changes, flows like water, except it's a painting. But it's not a painting. It's something, yes, Vicky said it. It's magic.
That the is. Dinner is just about ready. I want you to describe what you have prepared and how you present it.
Vicky gave me credit for most of the dinner. We would have together probably cooked a traditional North American Thanksgiving dinner with turkey and mashed potatoes and stuffing and cranberry sauce. Yeah. Assorted vegetables, green beans, corn on the cob. Too much food for just the three of us. Rolls. I would, of course, put the turkey in the center and having seated Uncle Edward at the head of the table, offered him the carve. Well, here, let's dig into this turkey. I've never actually seen the Northern Lights. That would be really cool. You make them sound beautiful. Uncle, here, would you, you want to chop up this bird?
I would be honored. And Edward stands up, takes the carving knife and the fork. And he's a bit short to get to the center of the table, so he starts rearranging things on the table, moving stuff around. He doesn't really seem to be paying attention to where anybody's sitting. He's just trying to focus on this turkey, and he pulls the turkey over toward him and with his elbow knocks a glass over on the table, and eggnog spills across. Oh, I'm so very clumsy. I'm so sorry. Let me help with that. And he grabs up, you know, the napkin that's next to him and starts patting it.
Oh,
please,
don't worry about
continue.
It.
I will take care of this. Okay, I will take care. I try to take the napkin away, and I would rush to the kitchen to take a dry one and come back to clean everything.
It's so very kind of you. I'm so sorry. I'm all thumbs.
No, it's
feel
okay.
Like I ruined the whole thing, and we haven't gotten started yet.
Don't worry about it. At least it wasn't the wine. So eggnog's no big deal.
Eggnog's
go ahead.
My favorite part.
I know it is, but I've got an extra glass. We'll get you a refill here. Let me refill your cup, and you cut that bird up.
Thank you. You've always been so kind. And he begins to carve the turkey.
I will go and quickly refill his cup. Actually, I'll just bring the pitcher. Put it in a glass pitcher and bring it and set it on the table within his arm's reach.
You see him as he's carving off the breast and taking off the leg, and he has to stop after every third or fourth cut, and he gets out his handkerchief, and he blots the sweat from his head, and he blots the sweat from over his mouth, and he's not exerting himself very much. He's just very, very, very warm, it seems, all the time. Just kind of an old fat man. And he serves up a little bit of turkey for everyone. And who prefers the leg?
I'll take the leg, uncle, if you don't mind.
Vicky, do you want the other one?
No, I will take just a little teeny piece of the breast itself, but that's enough. More salad for me. I'm waiting some things in the small future, so I have to watch my weight.
Certainly. Best to pay attention and take care of yourself. And he doesn't even cut off the other leg. He just grabs it in his hand, and before he even moves to sit down, he's already...
You feel like a caveman, doesn't it?
I love it.
Yes, I do too.
Do you remember going to the fair when you were young and buying turkey legs?
It's my favorite thing.
Yes, you were always so excited. It was the first thing you wanted to do. You didn't care about the zipper. You didn't care about the merry-go-rounds or any of the games. You just, the first thing you wanted to do was go get that turkey leg. I miss those days.
They were good days. This is really good. Vicky, would you pass me the potatoes?
Yeah, of course. And, more salad, perhaps. I made more than enough, and salads would be great for you. More salad, less potatoes.
More salad, please. More salad. It looks delightful. All those beautiful colors in there, all that vegetable. Mm.
Yeah.
Cannot wait. Should we say grace?
Yeah, if you want to, Uncle Edward, that's cool. We don't typically do that, but hey.
Well, yeah. All right. Grace, eat. Let's go.
I was afraid that it's going to last now for an hour and food will get cold.
Always such a tease.
Yes, just giving you a hard time there. Just giving you a hard time. Nikki, you'll see. I'm full of jokes.
Yeah, I noticed.
So, Vicky, tell me about yourself. I know that you have become friends, but...
Yeah, he helped me to more like settle in here, you know, get the properties or and similar that I could get a better job. But right now, I just work, you know, during the days at this diner and... in the evenings, I'm just cleaning some offices, but I always, when I have an opportunity, I definitely go to one of these, possible photo shoots, you know, where they're looking for a model or an actor or something like that. I went into a couple, like, last week, but they were looking just for advertisements, and one of them appeared to be a little bit fake, so good what I was warned before, because apparently, well, that wouldn't have ended very well if I would have went there. So, but I spoke to the other girl, so I was warned. But I think that next year will be better and finally step into this, you know, as I say, my American dream world or something.
Certainly, I love it.
Really, all she needs is just a break. I mean, she just keeps it. She's really doing good work, and she's going to get it right in front of the right set of eyeballs soon, I think. And then... Yeah, your whole world's going to break open for you.
Yes. Stay tenacious. Yes.
Yeah, but anyway, could you tell us more about, you know, these travels you make to Sweden? Maybe Dan could also sometime join you. He really needs some vacation from his work. He's just crazy about it.
You're always worried about me and my work. I would love to go sometime. Watch a 24-hour sun and have a glass of scotch and smoke a cigar. That sounds like a fun time.
That's what you definitely need to do, because otherwise you will turn yourself into this machine computer.
Yes, just meld right into that keyboard, won't you? Just all the time, just click, 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 click. He never stops, never has.
Hey, it's treated me well, for the most part.
Yes, we should definitely take a trip to Europe, of course. I would love to have you join along, my favorite nephew.
Your favorite? How many do you have?
One.
Okay, got it.
Vicky, you get a feeling. You're not sure what it is. You can't even describe it. But you feel your depression kicks. I want you to roll for your disadvantage.
It's 9.
9. You're starting to feel... hopelessness. It's pretty strange, because just a second ago you were happy and you laughed. Now you start to cry. You don't know why. Your stability is lowered by two.
Vicky, what's wrong?
Was it something I said? I'm so very sorry.
No, that's it's fine. I'm sorry about. I think I will just run to the kitchen, okay? And I didn't want to ruin this.
No. You haven't ruined anything, dear. You haven't. Please.
I'll be right back. I stand up and move towards the kitchen, quite in a hurry.
Yeah. Something is wrong, and you can't really shake the feeling.
Dan,
after a while,
you
start to calm down a bit, but it's still lurking somewhere in the back of your head, the feeling that something is not right. What do you do?
I go and seek where the hell I put my medicine, and when I finally find it after going through all the shelves a couple of times, you know, pushing, you know, some things around to see where the hell is that small bottle, I would drink the pill quite quickly without even chasing it down with a gulp of water. And then I would sit down. But I would sit down, you know, how there is in the kitchen, like this corner formed by the shelves, you know, and I would sit down in that corner on the ground, because it's the thing I do when I am sad. Like, I don't want to take a chair or anything. I just want to sit on the ground. And I try to close my eyes and just focus on me, on my thoughts, on what I feel, why I feel, you know, like similar, like if I would go on a stage and I would try to get rid of my stage fear, right? So yeah, I'm trying.
Yeah. Dan and Edward, what do you do?
I would, after probably, you know, 15, 20 seconds of putting it all together in my head or trying to excuse myself, hang on, Uncle Ed, let me go see what's going on. Please continue eating.
Yes, it's no problem. Please see after her. And he reaches out across the table as if he's motioning you into the other room, and he knocks his glass over again. And this time you see it, and it kind of splashes up on his jacket. And when it hits his clothes, you hear him go, "Son of a bitch." And he takes the, and it's just kind of under his breath, but he takes the handkerchief and starts furiously blotting the liquid, the eggnog that has splashed up on his jacket.
Edward, I want you to roll 2d10.
13.
You can choose one disposition.
I think I definitely become irritated.
Yeah. You can lower your stability by one. Continue to describe.
So Edward is blotting away at his sleeve and mumbling under his breath, "You idiot." And he starts to blot the sweat that's forming on his brow and gets some of the eggnog from his handkerchief, because he's not in his right mind. He's not paying attention to what he's doing, which frustrates him even more. And he stands up very quickly from the table and is just generally irritated at this whole situation. He can't believe that he is fumbling around this much and causing this much of a scene. He was hoping that this would go very smoothly.
Dan, you notice everything behind you in just a few seconds as you walk away.
I sort of roll my eyes just a little bit and park it in the back of my head that I should probably bring some paper towels or something when I come back. I also know that Vicky is prone to depressive moments from time to time since I've known her a little bit. Mm-hmm. This is not the first time this sort of thing's happened, and I know that she has medicine. And so I don't chase quickly after her. I'm giving her a few moments to get to where she needs to be. And then I will find where Vicky has parked herself on the floor.
Yeah. Vicky, you can describe for what Dan see when he comes into your kitchen.
Dan simply sees Vicky like he's now used to see, sitting on the ground, hugging her own legs, you know, tightly pressed to her chest. She's shaking a little bit, and her fingers nervously tug on her deep red hair, just on the ends of it, right? Because probably Dan saw her on the darkest in moments when she just seemed to be tearing her hair off. But right now she's not doing at least that. And her look is really now focused actually on the ground, on one like dot. There's this crumb of bread remaining after all this, you know, food they made. It just dropped on the ground. And then there's that crumb, and she just stares at that crumb as if that would be like her worst enemy right now.
Hey, are you okay? What, did I say something? Did Uncle Ed say something? What's wrong?
No, I don't know what's wrong. I just...
Just having a moment?
Having a moment? Don't say about that as if I am having a thousands of moments now and then for no reason. Just a moment.
I didn't mean it like that. I'm sorry. I didn't mean it like that. I'm not trying to make it sound any less than it is. I'm sorry. I'm not here to make it worse. Do you want something to drink? Do you want some water?
No. I just want to know.
Want to know what?
I will sound like a crazy person if I am going to... But just something is wrong, but like so wrong. I don't know what, but it's just like...
No, I get that. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Things have been feeling a little bit weird for me tonight too. I haven't really put a whole lot of thought into it. You're feeling that way as well?
I don't know exactly how I'm feeling about all this, Dan, but it's just like we're sitting in there and you know, there are these candles and, you know, the Christmas tree further away and these laws and your uncle is just blabbing about things and you're there, and we talk about the jewelries, travels, and you know, holiday vacation, my work, my future, and just like it's like it will never come. Like, you know, like there's no future.
Oh, sweetie, everything's fine. Everything's fine. Don't worry about the future. That's crazy. I've been sitting here thinking all night long that I've been in the past. Tonight's been like one huge big deja vu. Like I had a dream that I've been here before, done this. And maybe, I don't know, maybe you're going through something.
It's all different for you. Because, I mean, what you do and what you want to do with your life, I mean, when you will be 70 years old, you can still sit in front of the fucking computer. For me, it's all different. I'm growing old and ugly, and I have nothing. I didn't reach
you
anything. I should have never come here.
You are a long ways away from old and ugly, my dear. Look at you. You're just getting started. You haven't even peaked yet. So you're still on the. Hey, just don't worry about that kind of stuff. You're going to, you know, 1 foot today, 1 foot tomorrow, or 1 foot yesterday, 1 foot tomorrow. You're just pissing all over today.
It's like, I feel like we have, like, it's Christmas evening, right? I feel like I'm just like, I had already 20 fucking Christmas evenings like that, and it's always the same. That's my feeling, right? That it's always the same, and I'm just sitting there, and I'm just saying that I will have something in the future, but I will not.
Yeah.
You will not, and your uncle will not, and nobody will have anything.
It's not that bad. American Christmases can feel like that. They're all pretty much the same. Thanksgivings, you know, it's the same thing over and over and over. The faces just get older and little new ones pop up. And
that's the point. We're just getting older, but we are not moving anywhere.
Well, here.
You're like hamsters. I'm like a hamster who's just running in that fucking circle and runs nowhere.
Your phone rings, Vicky.
I nervously start like seeking out for my pocket, first to the side pockets, and I remember that I put my phone in my back pocket. Then I take it out and take a look at it. Who's ringing?
It's an unlisted number.
Give me a moment, Dan, please.
I will go ahead and grab a roll of paper towels and go in to the dining room where Uncle Ed is.
I answer. Hello?
Hello? Victoria?
Yes?
My name is Daniel Skogström. Is this Victoria Ossolina.
Ossolina, yes.
Oh, okay. I have a message for you from Dan Smith.
Yes.
Is he there?
Yes. What?
He himself wants to tell you that him. I'm sorry. I'm not so good at this. That the death angel is near. Do you understand?
What?
He himself wants me to tell you, to tell him that the death angel is near.
Is that some sort of a sick joke?
No.
I hang up. I put my phone in my back pocket. I rise to my feet, clean off my face from tears. Take a look again at the phone.
The unlisted number.
What?
Victoria, it's Daniel Skogström. Are you there? Vad fan är det för någon jävla telefonlinje? Victoria!
I can hear you. Do you want to talk to Dan?
The connection is cut off.
Hello? Shit. Put my phone back again into my pocket. Now I would move towards where Dan went.
As Dan came back into the dining room, Edward has somewhat rearranged the table, and he comes into the room, and Edward looks up very quickly as if startled a bit. And I'm nephew, I'm so sorry. The smell is terrible. I passed gas, and it's just, I apologize. It's
all right.
Yeah,
it's all right, Uncle Ed. Don't worry about it. Did we get the eggnog cleaned up? God dang.
I did my best. I'm such an idiot.
You're not an idiot here. You're just short, and you got short arms, so that makes you clumsy a little bit. You've always
don't call me short.
I'm sorry, Uncle Ed. I didn't know you were.
Sorry, I'm
sensitive about it. That's all right. It's all right. I'm sticking my foot in my mouth a lot tonight, and I guess it's just the holidays. Here, I brought some paper towels. Did you get your?
Thank you. And he snatches them from you very, very quickly. And he starts blotting all over his head because he is just, the sweat is just building and building on him. I just wanted this to go perfectly, and he's kind of nervously looking around the room. You're not sure what he's looking for. His eyes and his, you know, his head are kind of just darting around the room, looking in corners.
It's fine. You guys are all freaked out over nothing. Just a couple of spills. It's just, everybody just needs to calm down. I don't know. Here, have a seat. Just sit down for a second. Listen, while I'm waiting for Vicky, there's something I want to ask you.
He takes a seat.
You go to Sweden every year. How many years have you been going to Sweden? A lot, right?
Yes, decades.
Okay, so, you know, I can't get into a whole lot of details about what it is that I do, but I've been stumbling across some stuff that has to do with something that happened in Scandinavia. I Googled it. It's like the north part of Sweden. I think it's where you guys are going, some place called...
Yes.
Murta Jarvi. It's located in, I think it's called the, I can't remember, the Karasuando Parish, Kiruna County.
Kiruna.
Something like. Yeah,
yes,
there you
Kiruna
go.
County, oh. Yes, that's where we go.
That's where you go?
Well, when we travel north, I told you we go to travel and
right.
See the midnight sun. Yes, that's, that happens. What,
okay, so...
What are you interested in up there? What's...
Looking for other things. I stumbled across a couple of little, breadcrumbs, so I followed them. I saw this video. Well, it was... I don't know, it was like a copy of a copy of a copy from probably something from maybe a satellite footage, so extremely fuzzy, and with a little bit of supporting documentation that a monster, a large creature.
You enter the room and you hear Dan say, monster.
Anyways.
Is this in Are you talking about specifically in Metyarvi? Is that what you're talking?
Yeah, I think that's probably how you would pronounce it. You know me, I'm not good at the Scandinavian
pronunciations. What do you know? What do you know? Where's this video?
Well, I've got it on a thumb drive.
Yes? Where?
Well, it's down in my office.
Can I see it?
Well, yeah, I'm kind of nervous because Vicky has walked in and I'm not used to talking about this, so it's kind of made me uncomfortable because...
I don't care about her. What? They do a lot of mining up there. Abisko, the national forest up there, there's iron and silver all over that northern part, and they mine away and into the ground and show me this video. Do you have a name?
Hang on a second. And I'll...
He starts nervously biting his thumbnail.
I'll get up and look at Vicky and sort of just shrug and give her a face like, I'll explain it. Hey, just hang on a second. And then I'll go downstairs and grab my laptop and the thumb drive. And I'll come back up, and if they haven't, if they're not doing anything, pop it open. Show him the footage. It's just like 30 seconds, and there's not a lot to it.
You can describe the scene.
All right, so here, and flip open my laptop.
Do you sit even closer to me this time?
I kind of am over your shoulder. I'll set the laptop on the table in front of you. I'll clear the plate out of the way.
I would also come to take a look at what you're watching.
Edward, as you guys both get, within his, physical bubble, you see him and he starts to kind of twitch a little bit. His left shoulder kind of moves a little bit. And he's like, I'm very sorry for the smell. I something I must have ate at lunch. I don't really know, but...
It's all right, Uncle Ed. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. If it continues to be a problem, maybe you should have it looked at, but... We're family. Don't worry about it. Here. Look at this. So it's very grainy, just like I described it before. But you see this black thing. It's large, but you can tell that it's sort of maybe bipedal, perhaps. But its outline is really not discernible, except that it's very large. It breaks out from this building, like busts through a wall. And there are soldiers, and it takes gunfire and then kills these soldiers, and scientists are chasing after it, kills them, and then the feed breaks. Did you see that?
A bit of a smile creeps across his face. I did.
And I mean, thank you. I don't know if it's real or not, but if that's where you guys go, that kind of worries me. Did you see that?
Oh, we're fine. I assure you, we wouldn't be anywhere near a facility like this. You don't have to worry about me, Dan.
I think I noticed his demeanor change.
Yeah, you do. You both do, obviously.
I snapped the laptop shut and secured the thumb drive.
I know it might be scary for you to share that information with me, and I don't really know anything at all about computers. I'm all thumbs. Like I said, I'm all thumbs, but... How can give me that? I have some friends that would very much probably be able to give you some answers.
I mean, I'm glad. yes, I could make you a copy, but where I got this, it could cause me some serious problems.
They wouldn't trust me. No one can find you here. I mean, no one can find it here. I mean, no one will be able to find you. I mean, they won't know it came from you, okay?
What is going on? I don't understand.
Nothing. Let's eat. I'm starving.
What? Starving. Why are you shouting?
I apologize. I've been all thumbs tonight, and I'm a bit irritated with myself. And I spilled again, Vicky, while you were in the other room, and I've been trying to clean up, and I'm irritated. And you see his left shoulder kind of twitch up toward his head as if almost like a nervous tic that he can't control.
Yeah, here, do you want a drink? You want like a scotch or something? Something a little stiffer than that eggnog? Okay.
No, eggnog.
I will get the laptop out of the way while I'm saying that, and then
scoot. Don't let that go too far.
Scoot his plate. No, I'm gonna go make you a copy. I'll be right back. Here, you eat. Eat. Vicky, sit down with Uncle Ed and eat. You guys eat. Have a drink. I'll be right back.
I hesitate there for a moment, like just sit down beside Uncle Edward. And when I see that Dan disappears to go take care of his computer, I suddenly just kind of change my mind and look at Edward and I say, I will be in a moment. I'm sorry. And I would hurry after Dan.
Yeah.
Dan?
Yeah. I'm setting my laptop down at my desk and am looking for another in my drawers. Yeah, yeah. What's up?
Dan, do you remember that call?
Oh, yeah. Who was that?
I don't know. Maybe you want to tell me, because the person who called me asked if you are here, and he told me that you told that person to tell me that I would tell you when I tell... it's confusing. He said that I have to tell you. This is ridiculous, but is this a fucking joke? Did you make some sort of a fucking Christmas joke? Is that an American tradition?
Vicky, I don't understand any word that just came out of your mouth. What are you talking about? Who was that on the phone? Let's start with that.
I don't remember their name. It sounded Swedish.
And they wanted to talk to me?
No, they said that you told them that they would tell me that I would tell you that some sort of death angel is here. What the fuck, Dan?
I told them to tell you to tell me that there's a what?
Death angel is here.
Death angel.
What the fuck is death angel? Yeah.
It sounds like a prank. Vicky,
it didn't sound like a prank. They called me back again when I dropped on them, saying that this is a prank, and then the line just dropped off, but the person seemed very convinced.
Listen, I think you're upset. Something's going on.
Now
with
this is my fault.
Like, no, I'm not.
Because of me, I'm getting these weird calls, and you're showing these videos, and your uncle is freaking out because I'm upset.
Listen, everybody's freaking out, and I'm about to start freaking out because I'm not really sure what to do with you guys. And what I need you to do is...
We are the problem, not you. Not your fucking crazy job with the crazy videos and crazy calls.
None of this has anything to do with each other.
Edward, you hear upset voices from somewhere else in the hall.
I had already gone out of the room as quietly as I could to sneak and listen as they keep going away from me and having these secret conversations. So I would have already not made my way to wherever they are, but I would have tried to have get within earshot so that I could at least hear what they're saying.
Yeah.
And if they're yelling like that, I don't think I would have to go very far.
As you walk out from the dining area into the living room, I want you to roll 2d10s for your other disadvantage.
10.
10. As you're in the living room, you become distracted and you see a few things that you want to put in the correct places. You don't think they should stand where they are. And you start to rumble around in the living room.
Yes, Edward goes over to the coffee table and shifts it so that it's over another 3 inches more centered with the love seat that's there, and walks over to the side table between the easy chair and the love seat and opens the drawer and closes it and opens the drawer and closes it and opens the drawer and closes it and opens the drawer and closes it, and then takes the lamp and spins it just about 2 inches, turns it clockwise so that it just changes where the shade is a little bit, because the light isn't coming out from underneath the shade onto the table in the way that it should be. And he walks over to the front door and he locks the door and he unlocks the door and he locks the door and he unlocks the door and he locks the door and he locks the door again.
Dan and Wiki, you can both roll for observe a situation. You both notice that Edward is moving around in the living room, and as you notice, he's walking up to the front door and locks it, unlocks it, locks it, unlocks it. You can ask two questions about this situation if you want, and Edward have to answer.
I would probably, just my curiosity, having this conversation with Vicky and then hearing this noise, want to know what's being hidden from me. What is he really doing?
Yeah, what are you doing?
Succumbing to my mental illness. Edward is obsessive compulsive, and this whole situation is triggering that for him.
I would want to know, observing the situation, what is the biggest, the most kind of like overpowering him currently? Is what kind of an feeling, right? Like, is he like most, like, is it anger? Is it fear? Is it like what? Like, which feeling is the most overpowering him right now?
Desire, but not in a sexual sense of desire.
What seems strange about this to me? Have I seen him behave this way before?
No, you've never seen me behave this way.
That's strange.
Uncle Edward, are you okay?
Just a bit irritated. Just trying to keep myself composed. I'm hungry.
Well, for God's sakes, go sit down and eat. I'm making you a copy. I just got to find a thumb drive here in this drawer. Vicky, go sit with Uncle Edward and you guys eat something and drink some wine. Calm down. I'll be there in just a moment. This is turning into the weirdest holiday dinner I have ever had.
Don't say that. I wanted this to be normal. Just be normal.
Don't worry about it being so normal. What is normal? Listen, go with Vicky. Vicky, you guys go to the dining room, sit down and eat. Let me find this fucking thing and make him a copy, and that will make you happier, right, Uncle Ed? Right? Get that? Go have some eggnog and...
I'm so sorry for the smell. I really am sorry about the smell. It's...
For God's sakes.
It's embarrassing. Really,
that's all right. As soon as I can go in there and eat some of those wonderful mashed potatoes that Vicky made for me, I will probably be passing some gas right along with you here in just a little while. So it's fine. Don't worry about it.
Vicky, do you want to ask another question?
I don't know if I can ask this question, if it's a correct question to ask, but because I was also watching the video footage together with them, would I believe that this feeling of desire, which is overpowering him right now, was caused by the things he saw in the video?
Yes, absolutely.
So I would go and sit at the table like Dan ordered us to do. Mm-hmm.
And Dan, you are copying the movie from the thumb drive to another one?
I find a thumb drive, and knowing that my uncle does not have the foggiest clue about computers, he will not even look at this until he gets to his comfortable group of contacts that would do it for him. And then by that time, who knows what could have happened? Maybe he spills something on it. Maybe he just says, I don't know, you know, maybe he just assumes that he's done something to it because of his ignorance about it. And I'm extremely worried about actually giving it to him, and I'm mad at myself for even getting into it. And so I find one of my old thumb drives, check to make sure there's nothing on it, and then that's what I give him.
You're all back at the table. You haven't even been through half of yet.
Now everything is just cold. I'm so...
Here, let me have your plate. We can warm it up. There's microwaves. It's fine. Do you want me to fix you a drink?
Yes, get her a drink, please. She needs to calm down.
I need to calm down.
Oh my God, yeah. That's not the right thing to say, Uncle Ed. That's not what he meant. Apparently, the men in this house tonight are feeling a bit old-fashioned or something. I'm not really sure what's going on. Please don't take it personal.
Same way I shouldn't take personal that joke you did with the phone.
That wasn't a joke from me, Vicky. I don't know what that was. I am extremely curious.
Why are you not worried about that? What if it's related to your work? I can't do anything. I can't even focus or think about anything because I don't know what you do for your work, what kind of things you do. I don't understand that. And then we are getting these calls. What if that was a threat?
You were threatened.
She was not threatened. If it was a threat, you would know it was a threat and it would have been crystal clear.
I think that sounds like a threat if someone says, hey, listen, there's a death angel with you. That sounds for me like a threat.
What is a death angel?
Edward slumps back into his chair. He's staring at the floor.
Do you know something about this, Uncle Ed?
No.
I want both Dan and Vicky to roll intuition. Read the person.
12.
We add plus 2 from the attributes, right?
Yeah.
17.
Vicky, yeah, you may ask 2 questions, Edward.
When he's asked if he knows anything about it and he says no, is he lying?
Yes.
So now my question is very similar to the one I had. So what kind of Edward right now feels? Like what is the most like written on his face, like the hidden emotion, of course, not the one he's showing to us?
Fear.
And Dan, you may ask 1 question.
How could I get you to tell me what you know?
You could continue giving me information about the town and anything you know that's going on around the town in northern Sweden.
Uncle Eddie, you know something about that. I mean, you all but said it. There's a research station. Do you go up there?
I know where it is, yes.
Do you go there?
No, I haven't. But it's important. I know that much.
Important to who?
Me. It's important to me.
You all feel the dinner is over. You're not hungry anymore. Neither of you. Maybe it's time for a coffee.
I'll stand up.
That scotch that you promised.
Yeah.
Yes, let's I'm done with this fucking eggnog.
Okay, all right. I thought you might have hit that point. All right, let me grab something. Vicky, would you like something? And I will also start grabbing up plates.
I'm good.
Okay. Just sit, relax, and whatever. I'll pull these up as much as you can and grab the plates to the kitchen and then grab the bottle and a couple of glasses. I bring 3 glasses just in case.
While Dan is gone, I would just sit closer to where Mr. Grine is and whisper, Mr. Gren.
Yes, Vicky.
Why, if, like Dan says, that this is a bad prank, why are you so afraid of the Death Angel?
Child, we should all be afraid of the Death Angel.
But what that is, you sound like you know it, and for me it just sounds like also a bad joke or a threat that, you know, a killer from the government will come to kill Dan, but...
No. It's not coming for Dan. I apologize for the smell. It's...
I can't smell anything. What do you mean he's not coming for Dan? Who's coming for and what is it? And about what kind of a person we are talking to? Did Dan do something at his work?
I don't know anything about Dan's work. I was hoping to learn more about it tonight, actually. I'm not sure that... I can tell you this, the Death Angel is... You'll be fine.
Edward, as you're sitting there talking with Vicky, your eyes fall up on her pendant around her neck.
You see his lips part a little bit?
Do I notice that he looked, obviously at my pendant?
You do.
Oh, it was a gift for me from my grandfather. It brings me luck.
Do you know what it is?
Something beautiful, probably from some sort of the legends. I mean, if I understand correctly, the carving. So it's, I see a wolf's body, a tail of a peacock, wings of an angel, definitely looks like from some sort of old stories. It just made me a little bit sad that these eglantine branches, you know, and the thorns are like piercing through the skin of this animal and it's bleeding. And I don't understand how something what looks so painful could bring me luck. But since I had it, apparently if I leave it at home, always something bad happens. I just can't leave home without it.
Dan, you have entered the room now.
So it's a luck charm.
Well, yeah, that's how I kind of grew to feel about that. I didn't know my grandfather very well. I don't even remember his face.
Where's he from? You know, I never even bothered to ask you, Vicky. Where are you from?
Well, originally I am from Latvia, but my parents died early, so I was adopted by a family from Norway.
Is that why you hate Norway so much?
Not exactly that I hate it. I just feel like I was not understood.
Vicky, you sure you don't want one?
Hi, Dave. Make it double.
Edward drinks the entire, just boom, knocks back the entire glass of scotch. Then he holds it out for you to pour more scotch in.
I will do that, and then I will pour Vicky a nice forefinger.
Edward's eyes keep darting between your eyes, Vicky, and the pendant, and your eyes.
Do you know where this creature comes from? From what kind of a legend?
I don't. I was hoping that you could tell me.
I've read through a couple of myths and legends of Latvian culture, but I haven't seen anything like that described in there.
Are you talking about your pendant?
Yes, Dan.
Yeah, that's pretty, it's interesting, very interesting. It's beautiful, kind of creeps me out a little bit though.
Edward, as you watch Dan, just a second. There seems to be something behind him. You can't make out what it is, a shadow. But as soon as you look, that way it's gone. You get a feeling of a woman, a smiling woman, in black clothes. She shouldn't be here. The things start to feel a bit strange. The air is heavy. A sharp pain, just under your left collarbone. Your hand moves there, and you feel warm blood. It's just a drop. You look down at your finger and the drop of blood. I want you to roll Keep It Together.
As he pulls his finger out and he sees that there's blood on it, he quickly grabs the handkerchief out of his pocket and wraps it around his finger and is just holding it there, attempting to hide any of that from Dan and Vicky. Edward's lived a long life and seen a lot of things. He's pretty good at keeping it together for the most part. 14.
You feel a little bit upset. You're going to have to choose.
Edward, at this point, he's going to see that, and he's been trying so hard to make all of this just right for everyone. He wanted it to be this perfect evening with no hitches, no, you know what I mean? Everything, and it's a place for everything and everything in its place. And the blood on his hand, he starts to wipe it off with the handkerchief, and he's rubbing the handkerchief all over his hand, and it's kind of spreading the blood, and you can see that, and he's got it held very tightly at this point, and he's trying to blot it off of his hand very, very quickly, and he realizes that he's doing it in front of Vicky and Dan, and he looks up very quickly and goes, "What are you looking at?"
When you look up at Dan and Vicky, the presence is gone.
Are you okay? What'd you do?
I'm fine. I need to wash up. And he stands up and makes his way to the kitchen so that he can wash his hands.
Yeah.
And he turns on the water and he turns on the hot and he lets it get as hot as it can get. And he picks up the bar of soap and he is furiously washing his hands and washing and washing his
hands. Yeah. Dan and Vicky, you are alone in the dining room. You hear your uncle.
Yeah, he's acting weird tonight.
He definitely does.
Are you okay?
It's like the worst Christmas dinner ever in my life.
Yeah, I'm starting to feel that way too. I don't know what's up with the phone call. I don't know what that's about. I will see if I can find something out. If you can remember the name of the person gave you, I'll look into it.
I don't remember.
I don't know what's going on with Uncle Ed. What am I supposed to do with him? Am I supposed to let him go to Sweden acting like this after having seen that? What am I supposed to do?
I don't think he should go anywhere. Maybe he should see...
I think he needs to go see a doctor is what I think needs to happen.
Yeah, he could go to my psychologist. He's amazing.
You drink your drink. I'm going to go check on him. And I will get up and go to the kitchen.
Vicky, I want you to roll, see through the illusion.
11.
You sense a shadow move past the doorway to the room next to the one you're in. Not the kitchen, but the living room. Seems like there's someone in that room. And you jump, and gasp for air, become... What do you do?
I seek out for any, like, sort of what I would consider to be, like, sharper object. I don't know if we have in our room, like... there's a bottle, right? Like, yeah. He brought in the bottle of whiskey, scotch. So I take the bottle. My hand is really, really shaking. And I very slowly, very carefully, and as silently as I can, try to move towards where I thought that I saw the shadow go. Yeah. Hello?
You come to the doorway that leads to the living room, and you see the shadow, a woman, and it's just passing the other door from the living room directly to the kitchen, where Dan and Edward are now.
Is there for me a way to go to the kitchen, like other direction when I see the shadow going?
Yeah, like you can go back to the dining room and to the kitchen from the other side.
Okay, so probably afraid, not understanding what is going on fully, I just like... jump, seeing that she's moving towards where they are, probably forget about that bottle in my hand and just let go of it, and it falls down, smashes, you know, the glass and the drink spills. And I try to run as fast as I can to the other side, to where both men are, and without being even too afraid to scare off whoever is there, I just shout out, "Dan, Edward, she's coming!"
Dan and Edward, as you're in the kitchen, Edward, you're washing your hands. Dan has just walked up to you.
I would come in and see him furiously scrubbing himself in this steaming hot water, my concern meter going further and further up. I would come up behind him, put both of my hands on his shoulders, kind of give him a little shoulder rub, sort of try to comfort him. "Are you okay, Uncle Edward? You're really starting to worry me."
"No, I'm just stressed out. I had such a clear idea of what I wanted tonight to be, and none of it is going the way that it should. That's all."
And here's where Wiki comes into the kitchen, shouting,
"What are you talking about?
She's coming from that direction. I saw her. She's coming. I don't know who she wants, but she's there."
Look around furiously to see what the fuck it is she's talking about.
There's no one there. You don't see anything.
Do I still see? Like, is she coming?
No, you don't see anything. She's gone.
"What? I don't see anything. What did you see?"
"Dad, I swear I saw her. She was here. She was here, and she was going towards you. Dad, I swear to you, I saw her."
"Okay, all right. I believe you. She? Her? Who?
I don't know what she wanted. I tried to like speak, but she didn't talk, and she just like went towards you, and then this call, and I was like, maybe she is someone like from your work doing the terrible things."
First of all, I want Edward to roll, see through the illusion.
16.
Edward, you have the feeling that something have taken control. It seems to slip away from your grip. Dan, you remember the desert, the asylum, everything, but it hasn't happened. Vicky, you touch your pendant, but it's not there. You have lost it, or someone have taken it from you. You remember the doctor, Dr. Hall, the tables, and the subjects, and his evil smile, but it hasn't happened.
I start nervously, like, touch my neck, maybe it slipped somewhere, maybe it's something. "Where is it? Dan, where is it?"
"What? Where's what?"
"Did you take it?" I look at Edward.
No, I didn't take it. It must have, when you were furiously coming, perhaps you knocked it off. Let's search for it. No, I would never do that.
Where is it?
It could have been an accident. Nothing's gone right tonight. So
we have to find it.
Nobody took it. It's around here somewhere. Come on, let's go look. I will start making my way to the dining room, wondering exactly just what the fuck is happening tonight.
You start to move around, and then as you come into the dining room, the shadow move in the living room. It's there 1 second, then gone. A woman.
Fuck. All right. So I'm going to follow it. I follow it back into the kitchen.
You come into the kitchen, and there's Edward and Vicky. No shadow.
Okay. I go to Vicky, and I take her hands, and I pull her in a little bit close, trying to comfort her, and I whisper in her ear, I think I just saw it too.
Did she have my pendant?
No, she didn't.
She must have taken it. I would never lose it.
Maybe. I don't know. I didn't get a chance to look. I just want you to know you're not going crazy. I'm starting to think I'm going crazy. I'm starting to think I'm going crazy, and they're going to put me in some place with 4 white walls.
No, they're not white walls. That's just a Hollywood thing. That's
what are you talking about?
No, you said like you were feeling unstable and that they were going to put you away somewhere and it's not, sorry, never mind. And he gets down on all fours and is crawling around on the floor looking for the pendant. And every once in a while, he stops and he lifts his hand up and he brushes his hands off as some crumbs or some dust get on his hands, and he keeps crawling around the floor looking for the pendant.
I think he's had too much eggnog. Here, I was going to look in the dining room. It's got to be here somewhere.
Find it. I will not be able to do anything without it.
No, I know. I know. We'll just look for it. Uncle Edward, you just keep looking down there, and I'll go back to the dining room to look under her chair, around the on the floor. Yes.
She must have taken it.
I don't see how that's possible.
I always know where my pendant is. It's on my neck. I couldn't lose it. It couldn't just drop there. It was tightly attached. Never. I mean, you have to cut the...
Vicky.
The rope to remove it. She must have taken it. It's not here. I don't have my pendant anymore.
Dan, as you see Edward crawl around on the floor, I want you to roll in a person.
12.
There's something wrong with Uncle Edward. He feels wrong. But you remember him with love. But is he really your uncle?
Dan's state of mind at this moment is I am returning to my original logic that at this moment, none of this is real. I've already experienced Vicky losing her necklace. This has something to do with that situation. It's not something that I'm going to be able to explain to these people who at this moment I think are figments of my imagination. So I will try to comfort Vicky, and I will continue to look for the necklace.
It's your phone, Dan.
I answer my phone. Hello?
Dan Smith?
Yes, who's this?
This is Daniel Skogström. I did what you asked. Please listen. Anatoly and someone called the Slugman are connected to Shagidiel. Do you understand me? Anatoly and the Slugman connected to Shagidiel. Slugman. I think the Slugman can be of help if you can find him. He wants to break the Death Angel's bounds, and he know about Dr. Hall. Okay, listen carefully. The code is 637294 to the underground station up north. 637294. You got that? Dan?
Yeah, I got that. What did you say your name was?
Daniel Skogström.
And where do you know me from, Daniel?
Oh, that's right. Fan ska jag förklara? I'm sorry, Dan. I can't explain it. We have met, but not yet. Remember, it's to the west from Mertajärvi. You hear me?
It's what?
Up the...
Yeah.
It's to the west from Mertajärvi.
The west. Okay, the west.
From Mertajärvi. Up that dirt road from the burned down farm.
Okay.
The experiment they worked on there can be the answer to stop Shagidiel. I think you have to convince me again when you get here through the portal. You understand?
Yes. I understand, Daniel. I understand.
Yeah. After we have met yet. I mean, we haven't met yet. Fuck, this is...
What is it? What is it that we're... What is it, Daniel?
Still, we have done this before, but I'm not sure. If I'm alive, the fire, I can feel it again. It always comes back. I know that this must sound like a joke, but it isn't. Just get here and we'll meet again. It will work this time, I'm sure. I have to go. The fire is almost here.
Where are you, Daniel? Us. Where are you, Daniel?
Our call is cut off.
Yeah, he leaves the kitchen and starts crawling around the floor in the dining room, not even paying attention to any of the furniture around. And he looks like a turtle on the floor, you know, this big, fat, round back of his. And he bumps into the china cabinet and just keeps going. It's like he's a beetle of some sort, just scrambling around the room on the floor on all fours.
This isn't real. This cannot... This can't be real.
What are you mumbling about, Dan? This is Christmas dinner. Have you found your pendant, Vicky? Vicky, have you found your pendant? It has to be
here. Took it.
Do you know what she's talking about, Uncle?
Yes, I saw her too. I did. I saw her too.
You. It's around here somewhere. She didn't take it. We've just lost it.
She took it from me.
We'll find it, Vicky. I promise. I promise we'll find it, Vicky. You said to me earlier that as long as you didn't leave the house, right? You said, as long as I don't leave the house without it on, you haven't left the house. You're still in the house. I assure you we'll find it.
She can't just stay in this house forever. This is absolutely ridiculous.
No. I'm not saying stay in this house forever. No. I just mean... We're still in the house. She can let her fear fall away. We're safe here.
It's not just a fear. It's a fact.
Yeah, that's easier said than done, Uncle Ed.
I need to call to my work. I can't go to work tomorrow.
You're being presumptuous. Don't jump to conclusions. We will find it. We will find it.
Edward, in your head, you hear a voice.
Shagidiel. They know. She know. Get out.
And it's gone.
Dan, and all of the things that you've come across, and obviously you've come across some very dark secrets. Who is Anatoly?
Vicky, you suddenly remember his picture from the news, but it hasn't happened.
I've been asking you to tell me everything that you know about this, and you...
But they're just minor details, Uncle Eddie. I don't know which
there
ones are.
There are no minor details. Who is Anatoly?
I don't know who he is. His name is attached to a lot of those breadcrumbs I was talking about. Documents, you know, invoices for this and that, and requisitions.
He's a very bad person.
He's what?
Very bad person.
See there, Ed. She looks like. I guess Vicky knows more about it than I do.
Vicky, I want you to roll for your disadvantage lost identity.
8.
You remember your childhood. You saw your parents die in front of your eyes. Anatoly was there. He looked at you and laughed. He said, well, you're a cute little girl. We're gonna get a lot of money for you. You ran. He ran after.
his men chase you through the garden. You hid in the forest, and then you're back.
What do you mean that he's a bad person?
I need to... I start searching for, like, the nearest possible seat to just slump down into the chair or an armchair or sofa. Anything around me where I can just sit down. My hands are shaking. My eyes become really watery, and soon the tears start dribbling down my cheeks.
As you sit down in the armchair in the living room, you see your pendant on the living room table.
I immediately lean in and grab it. I don't put it on my neck, but I just press it in my palm and then lean back again in the armchair.
As you touch it and takes it to your chest, you feel an intense pain in your head, and you hear a voice.
Did you like the slug man crawling around your house?
You can lower your stability by 2. You start to shake. You can't move, but you can't speak.
Vicky, are you okay? Is that it? Did you find it?
Get out of my head.
See, I told you that we would find it, Vicky. Now, tell me, who is Anatoly?
Come on, Uncle Ed. She's upset. Can't you...
Here, have the... Here's a handkerchief. And he hands you over the handkerchief that's got eggnog and blood and sweat and all of those things on it. And he's staring you straight in the eyes. Who is Anatoly?
I'm not taking the handkerchief. And my eyes are closed and my head is lower down where I just basically face my palm, which is clenching on the pendant. He killed my parents.
Where?
In Latvia. Riga.
Riga.
I saw it. I saw everything.
How old were you?
6.
Was this the last time you saw him?
I think so. He sent men chasing after me. I was hiding in the forest. He said that he will have to get a lot of money for me. I was running and hiding. It was really cold. So my parents died.
Edward stands up and starts to pace.
I will slowly go sort of sit next to Vicky and try to comfort her. I'm waiting for this to go away, quite honestly. I don't think that any of this is actually really happening to me. Oh, God damn it.
It's your phone, Dan.
This fucking thing. Look at who is it? I'm gonna look at the see who's calling.
It's a foreign number. It starts with a +46.
The fuck. Hello,
Dan. Dan. This is Daniel.
Daniel. Jesus. What?
Yeah, Daniel Skogström. You told me to tell you that. You have the answer in your house in the dream. He can help you, you say. He has helped you before. I think you called him Edward. Dan?
Yeah, Uncle...
Are you there, Dan?
Yeah, he's here. What are you talking about?
Förbannade jävla telefonlinjen. Det funkar ju inte.
You're disconnected.
The fuck? Uncle Edward... What do you know about this Anatoly? What do you know already about this thing that I've given you?
Not enough.
Okay.
Anatoly is... I really don't know anything other than I need to know more.
Well, I just received a phone call that's from some idiot who named you and says that you know, apparently, about what's going on. And as I'm ready to just eat this phone, I would kind of like an explanation. So if you know more than you're letting on, why don't you just go ahead and spill the beans, or I'll take that thumb drive back.
Well, I already know what's on the thumb drive, though.
Yes, I know, but you were eager to have it, and so if you already know it, then just go ahead and give it to me now. You don't need it. And then I still want some answers.
At this point, Dan, you're sure that Edward isn't your uncle. You have never seen him before this night. And he reeks. You sense a smell of rotten, infectious wounds all around him.
Where's Vicky? I want to
She's
know.
She's in the armchair.
She's still looking down. I'm not going to let on I'm going to stand up and walk over to Vicky, lean down, grab her hands with my right hand and put my left hand on her shoulder and lean into her ear and say, we need to go. You don't understand. I don't know who this man is. Do you smell that?
Do I?
Now you do, when he mentions it.
This is not Uncle Edward.
I open my eyes and turn my head to look towards the direction where I know that Uncle Edward was. What do I see?
You see Uncle Edward, but it's like you see him for the first time, like you had never met him before.
Where is Uncle?
You don't think there ever was.
We gotta go, Vicky.
In your head, Dan, you hear Dr. Hall's voice.
Motherfuck.
It's time to bring in a specialist. You also remember Daniel, the crazy Swede, saying Edward can help you, and something about Shigidiel.
I'm going to go to the table, since Vicky is not mobilizing, and I'm going to grab the carving knife, and I'm going to point it at Uncle Edward. You, stinky motherfucker.
I've been apologizing, Dan. I told you it's got to be something that I ate.
About Shigidiel.
I'm not scared of you, Dan. If you want to sit down and have a conversation, we can sit down and have a conversation. But holding a knife to me, I'm not scared of you.
I didn't expect you to be. Just tell me what you know.
I know that I won out from under their thumb. And I think that you have information that...
Who's they?
Do you know what Death Angels really are?
No.
Good.
What are you?
I'm a man.
You really need to see a doctor.
There's nothing that a doctor can do.
All right. Well, here's what I know. All right? And you tell me what you can do for me. And if there's... Anyway. Daniel, motherfuckers, called me 3 times tonight. Apparently, you are the answer to my problem. Because what's really happening right now is I'm not here having dinner with you. I'm strapped to a table in some... laboratory.
You're not strapped to a table. You're not strapped to a table.
I am. And I got doctors standing all around me. And you are apparently the answer to that problem for me. So I'll give you information, but you got to tell me how to deal with this situation that I'm in. And I'm pretty sure that Vicky's here too.
You tell me what I want and I will get you out of this.
I've told you everything I know. I had planned on digging into it some more because that's what I wanted if you were familiar with this place so that you could kind of clue me in on it. All I know is there was some, like a meteorology lab is what they call it, but I don't know if that's exactly what it is because this thing came out of it. I know where it is, but that's about it. And, you know, I've got a few names like this. Anatoly guy who's, you know, has something to do with it because his name keeps popping up on some of the paperwork that I've stumbled across. And apparently he's a pretty bad guy, I guess. And he motions over to Vicky, who looks catatonic. So you know where it is now.
I need you to provide me with whatever information that you can once you get to that lab. I don't care if you just have to write me a letter. In return, I will get you out of here safely. And unharmed, and I can likely even send you on your way once we're out.
To the lab?
I don't know that I can get you to the lab, but I can get you a lot closer than you are right now. I told you, you're not strapped to a table.
Yeah, I don't really know what's real and what's not.
When you say that, you feel this pressure start to build in your left nostril and in your right ear. And Vicky, you start to feel this pressure build in your nose, in both nostrils, in your sinuses. It's like this awful, awful headache behind your eyes and in your temples. It's almost like you want to, you know, just ball up in a cold, dark room under the blankets. It's just such a piercing headache. You start to hear this sucking sound, like when you're pulling a sopping wet rag out of a tight hole, you know, just this suctioning sound. It sounds moist. And Dan, all of a sudden, the light fills your eyes It's bright. You're staring up into a fluorescent light right above you, and you can feel something, moisture, blood, snot, you're not really sure, just coming down the side of your face, and you're staring up at the ceiling, and you hear this suctioning sound from your left. And Vicky, you are staring up at the ceiling, and there is a fluorescent light over the top of you as well. It smells moldy, wet in here, dank. The must is heavy in the air, like when you walk into an old basement that has a leak in the corner. You can hear some water trickling somewhere. You aren't strapped to the tables.
Dan and Vicky, you are weak and disgusted by the slugs that Edward just removed from your faces. You have been sedated for a long time. You don't know how long, but your bodies feel weak. You can't even sit up, and you need some time to get your bodies to work again.
I walk up and I put like a small pillow to prop her head up a little bit, and I tie a necklace around your throat. Come on, you have to start thinking like you can move. You can't wait here long.
Where are we?
Come on.
What is going on?
You're just waking up. It's okay. You're just waking up. And he's walking across the room from you. And you can see kind of a tank, like a round tank sitting on a hexagonal pedestal. It probably holds 100 liters of water, 120 liters of water. And you see him drop these two almost like football-sized black, ink-black slugs down into the water and closes the lid.
What the fuck are those things?
Help. And he brings you over rags and starts helping to wipe your face clean and wipe your ear clean, Dan. And he gently helps you clean your face, Vicky.
Who are you?
I'm Edward Gran.
Is this real? Am I still with Dr. Hall?
You're very perceptive, Dan. No. No, you are not with Dr. Hall. You are with me now.
How did we end up here? How did you have my pendant?
Dr. Hall gave it to me when he gave you to me.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Listen, I told you that I would get you out of there safely and that I would help you get where you were going, but I told you I would do that in exchange for information, and I need you to get me that information.
Okay.
It's going to take you a few minutes for you to feel normal again. The sedative is quite powerful, and my pets, they don't intend on hurting you, okay? We've worked out a deal. Listen.
Jesus Christ. Yeah.
Drink this. And he hands you both a cup full of clear liquid.
I smell it.
No smell. It's just water. I know you don't have to trust me, but it's just water.
Thank you for giving the pendant back to me. And then I start drinking the water, almost as if showing a sign that I trust you because you gave me the pendant back.
It will help you.
Where are we?
You're in my cellar.
All right. Well, if you want information, then I have to go to my cellar.
Okay. No, no, no. Hold on. Sit. Don't exert yourself too much yet. Okay? I have a couple of things that will take me a few minutes. You're not going back to your cellar, Dan.
I have to get to my computer if you want information. That's what I do.
No, 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 no. That's not the information I need. You gave me that. The information I need is what you find. You said it yourself, 1 foot in yesterday and 1 foot in tomorrow, and you're pissing all over today. Don't piss all over today. Sit there. Edward turns, and he walks past you. You're past where your heads that were on the table, and you see him, and he opens up a large armoire, and a Murphy table falls out of it. The table is ink black. There are various vials and implements and blades and all sorts of things hanging on the insides of these doors. And he grabs several things off of the doors and sets them out very meticulously on the table. He picks up a small hooked knife and he starts to carve some symbols in a very straight row down the table. And you hear him muttering under his breath. You can't hear what he's saying. And he carves and he opens one of the vials and he pours it into the first rune, and so on and so forth. After about 4 or 5 minutes of this, you guys start to get your strength back a little bit. Not a lot, but a little bit. And he continues to mutter under his breath and mutter under his breath. But all of a sudden, in a cacophonous yell, you don't even know what it is that he says. You can't make it out. It's not a language that you speak or have heard. And he slams his hand down on the table on the last rune that's closest to him. And the armoire opens up what you could only describe as a portal.
Edward, I want you to roll plus soul.
13 plus 5 is 8.
The ritual work as intended.
Am I supposed to go through that thing?
Vicky, you said you trust me. Yes?
I do. Dan, he gave me my pendant back.
He waddles over to you. He seems much older than he did in the dream. The stench is... you can taste it. It smells like rotten flesh. But he waddles up to you and he kind of shoulders your weight a little bit and helps you off the table, Vicky.
Thank you.
This is where you need to go. Your strength will return to you, I assure you, but you have to leave.
What's on the other side?
Where? Safety.
Safety is my living room, buddy.
No. Oh, Dan. No, it's not. No, it's not. And he helps Vicky over, and he comes back and he puts his hand out for Dan. I told you I would get you closer. You can trust me or not. But at this point, if you don't get out of here...
All right, how do I get the information back to you?
Just get the information. I haven't lied to you so far, Dan.
Take Vicky's hand. You want to do this? Are you ready? Is this...
Let's do it. We have to.
All right.
Let's go before they find out that you're gone.
Let me step through.
As you enter the portal, a strange sensation flows through your bodies, and a pain emerges from the inside, making you fall down. Around you, complete darkness. In your head, you hear a voice.
This is the one.
Entry 14. Hope, in reality, is the worst of all evils, because it prolongs the torment of man. And yet I continue to hope to find a way out of this wretched contract, but this bound existence is what they want from me. But I will not let its vision drown in the swamp of a moment's torture. Finding this Anatoly could be the key. I must resupply quickly and relocate. Dr. Hall will eventually become aware of my doings, and I must be gone by the time he comes looking. With the release of Dan and Vicky, I will also have to find another sacrifice, but that shouldn't be difficult. Keeping tabs on those two will be, though. And I must get settled into a new space quickly, as the longer I wait to figure out their whereabouts, the more difficult it will be.
A very special thank you to Duke Walter for playing Uncle Edward in today's episode. Thank you, Duke.
Thank you for listening to The Experiment, a Cult Divinity Lost actual play podcast from TTRP Theater featuring Peter Samuelson, Minta Krigomi, and myself, Curtis Wilkins. The game Cult Divinity Lost is produced by Homecast. Music used in this episode is thanks to Coag and Incompetech. Find our other stories live on Twitch or later on YouTube. Podcasts are available on multiple platforms. If you like what you heard today and would like to help support and improve TTRP Theater, visit our Patreon page today. Benefits start for as little as $1. Thanks again from Minta, Peter, and myself, and all of us here at TTRP Theater.